worse. At least he was safe. That was something, anyway. Unexpectedly, a humanoid figure holding a lance rose from the evergreen bushes in front of the startled Sec Man. Frantically working the bolt of his borrowed AK-47, the corporal swung the blaster around, then paused when he realized that the weapon might not even be loaded. Black dust. He had ammo clips in the pouch at his belt, but those might as well be on the moon for all the good they did there. Warily, the barb waited for the expected attack, watching for any opening when he could throw the lance and dodge the death fire of the tube machine. The corporal put on a combat face and waited for the other man to throw before risking a shot. The bolt had worked, but that might only mean a single live round remaining in the clip. If he missed, it was all over. Weapons poised and ready, the two opponents stood amid the bushes, each unsure of his next move. Much too early, noise came from the Matrans unit, and the three companions drew their weapons in tense expectation.
Already?
Jack cocked back the hammer on the Colt.
Something's wrong.
Mildred took a position along the wall near the door. The Gren felt heavy in her right hand, the smooth ring of the pin clenched tight in her left.
Sheffield?
Ryan stood in the doorway across the hall. The man was pale, but his panga was unsheathed and ready. Behind him, JB stood with a grim expression, his own knife held in a throwing grip. Doc braced the Lama on top of the console, the muzzle pointed straight at the door.
We shall find out soon enough.
As the machinery went still, the companions heard a splash. Then nothing else. Going to the door, Doc threw it open, and greenish water rushed out over his boots. His friends lay limply on the floor.
By the three Kennedys! Mildred, hurry!
Rushing forward, the physician tucked away the Gren and knelt in the puddle. Grabbing Dean by the shoulders, she turned him over and pounded the boy on the back. In response, he heaved out a stomach full of thin fluid. Mildred kept hitting his back until some color returned to his face, and he began breathing normally.
Hot pipe! We made it!
Immediately, Mildred went to Christy and started beating her soundly between the shoulder blades with an open palm. Her damp hair sluggishly flexing, Christy spewed out the contents of her stomach and shook off the physician, hacking for air.
What's wrong?
Jack helped the boy to stand.
They're okay. Just swallowed some bad water.
The words made Dean go to the corner and retch again, the thought of the rotting corpses filling his mind.
What is this?
Ryan lifted a canvas bag from the Matrans chamber. Malodorous, greenish water poured from a small rip in the side.
Grabbed it as we went. Better than nothing.
Anything useful?
Ryan tugged the bag open and inspected the contents.
MRE packs. Being underwater wouldn't hurt them a bit.
How many are there?
He did a rough count, riffling the packs with a fingertip.
About 40. Enough for another week.
Must have been field rations for a pre-dark wreck squad.
JB ran a hand over the outside of the bag. Dimly, the faded green letters USMC could be seen on the camo-colored material.
Bad for the Navy boys, good for us.
Lifting a pack, Doc inspected the foil for any holes or corrosion.
Looks perfect, dear boy. Ah, never before have I so truly yearned for the culinary delights of artificial creamed chipped beef on canned toast.
Mildred smiled.
Pentagon calls it shit on a shingle.
Indeed, madam. But they could order out pizza and chicken wings. Ambrosia comes in many flavors these days, some great, some on toast.
Frowning, Jack glanced around.
Hey, where blaster?
Dean swallowed to clear his throat.
Dropped it. When we hit the water after the second jump, I lost my grip.
Second jump? You're only supposed to do one jump.
Wasn't our choice. Something went wrong with the Matrans. After going to an empty redoubt, we jumped and went to one underwater. We hit the LD button, and instead of returning to the empty redoubt, came back here. Thank Gaia.
Dean looked at her on the word empty, but said nothing. It was close enough to the truth.
Dark night. We're short enough as it is without losing a blaster.
Into the control room. Some hot food will help all of us think more clearly.
Leaving the chamber, the companions were startled when the door slammed shut behind them.
Son of a bitch! You don't think that...
and the noise of the Mattrans rose and faded away. A furious Ryan opened the chamber door, and there was a dripping wet Doc sitting in an expanding puddle. He was drenched to the skin, and his chest heaved for breath, but the missing Kalashnikov was held loosely in his grip. Rushing forward, a frowning Mildred slid a shoulder under his arm and helped Doc shuffle from the chamber.
Damn fool stunt! Could have killed yourself doing a double jump that fast!
Needed the blaster. Besides, I only...
The words faded away as terror clouded his eyes, and Doc flinched as if struck by a savage blow.
No! Not into the pit with those animals! I swear I'll kill you, Strasser! Gun you down like Oswald did JFK. You'll die bloody like the Kennedy brothers.
His strength gone, Doc slumped and could only whisper more wild threats.
Hush.
She knew that name. Ryan had rescued Doc from the evil clutches of Court Strasser, sec chief to the Baron of Moxon. The madman had been torturing Doc every day for an indeterminate period of time. Horrible things that made her feel unclean just to hear. Yet Doc had survived through sheer raw determination. He'd stayed alive, and mostly sane, only by his iron-bound belief that someday he would return to the Vermont of his past and be reunited with his beloved wife, Emily. Other men would have died or gone completely mad. Doc chose a different route and lived. She admired him a lot more than she had ever told him.
Tougher than nails.
Jack helped to carry the old man into the control room and placed him in a chair.
Who those names, he say?
Pre-Dark Barons who got aced. Good thing you're out, Doc, or else I'd kick your skinny ass for a triple-stoop move like this.
He did save the blaster, and it's undamaged.
JB wiped the weapon dry with a cloth, then dropped the clip, poured out some water, and slapped in a fresh magazine.
This'll work just fine. Mikhail Kalashnikov made a good blaster.
Jack picked up the long blaster and the spare clip.
Better be right. Out on now.
Mildred took the other long blaster and turned to Ryan.
Keep Christy and Dean warm and get some hot tea down them. And just let the old coot sleep it off.
Try to shine what need. I find. Bring along.
Blasters first.
Ryan took the Colt 45 and gun belt from the teenager. JB belted on Doc's huge Lamar.
Good luck.
Nodding, Mildred dropped her medkit beside the door to the Mattrans chamber as Jack walked inside. Following the teenager, she closed the door, and soon the complex machines sang their song and faded into silence. Slow minutes ticked by in endless procession. Always a fast healer, Christy got to her feet first and fixed some hot coffee for the others. After a few sips, Dean was feeling better and started to dig into an MRE pack, using the attached plastic spoon to devour an envelope of corned beef hash. Blasters cocked, Ryan and JB waited patiently for the others to return, sipping the strong military brew. Crossing the control room, Christy placed a cup of sweet coffee near the sleeping Doc, then turned abruptly, her hair moving in short lashing movements. She walked toward the chamber door.
Something has happened. They're in trouble. I can feel it.
Malfunk with the machines?
Ryan knew Christy could sometimes sense things unseen, a talent that had saved their lives more than once. But the ability was random, totally unreliable. Just when you needed it most, it went away, which was why Ryan kept his faith in a good blaster. Steel was always reliable.
Mildred and Jack are fighting.
She reached for the closed door with fingertips.
Lodge? No face. They're coming back!
With those words, the comp monitors scrolled with commands, and the hidden machines revved with power. The AK-47 held level, Ryan walked to the door, and froze when he heard the chatter of auto-fire. Throwing open the portal, Ryan and JB charged in and separated fast, their weapons searching for targets. But they only found Mildred and Jack inside the chamber, smoking Kalashnikovs held in their hands. However, their clothing was torn in places, and Jack was bleeding from a wound in the shoulder. Spent brass was scattered on the floor, and Ryan realized they had to have jumped while firing their weapons.
What happened?
He hauled Mildred to her feet. She clung to him for support, panting for breath. JB knelt and offered Jack a canteen.
Changing mass in a jump might turn you inside out. You two know better than to take a risk like that.
Had to.
Jack sipped from the canteen, then splashed some water on his bloody shoulder. He winced, but didn't cry out.
They were at the door. Damn near came through with us.